Hello, everyone. It's your friendly neighborhood editor. This is just a brief reminder that this episode and the next two episodes, Glenn is present as a character. However, his audio file has vanished into the ether somewhere and has not been recovered. So there are some moments where it is clear that he's there, and I will leave it up to your imagination what is being said. At any rate, I hope that you will enjoy this next adventure. We'll be chasing some bugs.
Well, hi there, guys, gals, non-binary pals. It's Mike J. Darkson-Perard with another episode of That D&D Podcast, where we continue to play Pathfinder 2nd Edition. We are making our way slowly through the Kindled Magic Adventure Path. Sorry, Adventure for the Strength of 1000 Adventure Path. And we have just gotten through the first chapter, and we're on to the second. With me here is my cohort of students who can introduce themselves in Discord order.
Hi, I'm Adam, he, him pronouns. Today I will be playing Firebird, the pyromaniac, not the car.
And that's an important...
Just in case everyone was wondering, yeah, this whole time, yeah. I am not any sort of Trans Am. Is that the right car? Pontiac?
Pontiac.
But definitely not a car.
But not a car.
Hi, I'm Matt. I have he, they pronouns. I am playing Jonas, the jokester, not the brother. That's for me to know and for you to find out. AKA, I need to bullshit something. Give me a moment.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm playing Thorka. I have he, him pronouns. She has she, her pronouns. Also not a car. In either case. A little bit, right? Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a point in time when we had a character that may have been a car several campaigns ago. So it is worth noting, I guess. yeah.
If you were a car, what kind of car would you be? I'll go first. Dump truck. Thork is a dump truck.
Anything up on cinder blocks?
The safari vehicles, yes.
One of those cars with the hydraulics in it and like a neon undercarriage, but you know, when it actually tries to drive, it just kind of crashes.
So I don't know if that was everybody.
Firebird.
Yeah.
It would be very funny if Firebird was actually a Camaro.
A Charger, in fact.
Yeah. You're still there? We still got you?
Apparently, having trouble turning the engine over.
Oh, yeah, no, I got nothing.
Okay, that's no problem. Cool. All right, so, it is a brand new day at the Mogambaya, and it starts with a summons to Corday Alawa's office. She is one of the rain scribe teachers I'm not positive if any has everyone vaguely determined branches. Again, not urgent, but just vaguely want to know. Sure. I'm writing it down in my notes as well. Wait, I shared notes with you. Yeah.
Yeah, like the biography page, all the way down at one end. I think Thorka's a rain scribe as well, because she has literally none of the skills of the other branches. None whatsoever.
Weirdos.
Look, they don't give monks very many skills. Our skills are in punching.
Adam or Matt, either of you have branches you're thinking about?
I think I was considering Tempest Sun Mages for Jonas.
Those are the storytellers, right?
Pretty sure they are. They should be. Otherwise, I might have to change that again. But
yeah, no.
Aren't the Cascade Bearers the storytellers? Am I thinking that wrong with that? I may be wrong. Give me a second.
There's like two groups that are kind of sort of both storytellers, and it's like, I think the Cascade ones were like the secondary.
Oh, Uzunjati are the, understand that knowledge lives in stories and are passed on through generations. The Tempest Sun Majors inspire valor, not only the physical courage to stand up for friends and school, but also the intellectual courage to consider opposing viewpoints and widen one's understanding.
Oh, still be the Tempest Sun Mages, actually, for various reasons, but...
Right. Oh, apparently they're...
And the Cascade Bearers are Simic / Izzet.
They're also the Buffy group, keeping a close watch on demonic forces.
Great. I'm sure that won't have any problems with it whatsoever.
Adam, any thoughts?
Yes. I was going with the Emerald Boughs.
I would not have guessed that. Okay.
Where would you have put it?
I don't know. It's just that this says this list says Emerald Boughs emphasize camaraderie, and you're the one that's like always going off on their own and like finding things to do and fight without us. So
I think Fiber might be mistaken on what they do, because he's still convinced that they're the spy faction.
Oh, okay. Cool. Great. Love it. It would be amazing to just, like, be in the wrong house accidentally and just too prideful to change at that point.
I mean, nothing else really goes well with him anyways, but yeah.
Type of rain scribes twice for some reason. Emerald Bow. Right.
It's because there's twice as many of them as anyone else, I think.
Alright, cool. And now I have notes. Alright, actually, let me copy this over there, too. I shared this with y'all, right? Copy link. Just drop this in the chat here. I totally dropped this in the chat last time, so it's still there. I even have the t-shirts just on page 2. Nice.
Laughing Hyacinth sounds like a knoll, huh? Is the Emerald Boughs faculty literally just named teacher? Because that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find titles for the characters. So, like, the Cascade Bearers have a lore speaker.
Oh. Okay. Okay, cool.
The leader of the Tempest Sun Mage faction is High Sun Mage Oyamba.
Oh, so it is Head Spy Master.
But, I mean, it is now Head Spy Master.
Oh. No, that's what I just called it.
Yeah, like, I think the storytellers might be the spy masters, because that'd be hilarious, right? Like, or the bards, the crew.
Bloody harpers anywhere you go.
Exactly. Another thing the D&D movie got right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, it absolutely is,
yes. What's that?
It absolutely is, yes.
Did I show that to my kids? I must have shown that to my kids. I don't know. It was fun. All right. I'm just going to pop this down here as well. All right. So, Cordelia Lawa is one of the teachers for the Reinscribe factions, or the Reinscribe school. And she has an office, actually, on campus. She has one of the Heron Archives building, or her office is in the Heron Archives, which is one of the first 10 buildings that was created for the Magambaya in the early days of Old Mage Jatembe. And the building is named after one of the first 10 magic warriors. So her office is, I'm going to presume that you go to her office, but if you'd like to not go to her office, stop me. Inside the building, her office, heavy curtains cover the windows in Teacher Olawa's large office, with several oil lamps emitting a low light. A dizzying variety of glass encasements feature insects and reptiles and a large cage hanging in a corner holding a small and surly vulture. The bookshelves are stuffed with papers, scrolls, and tomes in orderly piles. Shadow boxes in the walls hold dead insects pinned open to display their inner anatomy. And I believe I've got a picture of Teacher Olawa in the faculty section. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you would like. I totally have not uploaded Teacher Olawa yet. That's fine. I'll get to that in a second. So she begins. You might have heard I'm the insect expert here. Oh, there you go. There's a picture in the chat. She says, looking up from her scroll and tucking an errant piece of headscarf back into place. That means when the school has bug problems, they like to make it my problem. And since the group of you are new, I'm making it your problem. Something, or more likely several unrelated and coincident things, have been disturbing insects around the Magambaya enough to threaten the ecological balance if left unchecked. Ankerroot and a few others have told me that something seems to be agitating them. For a moment, genuine concern crosses Teacher Olawa's face, proof that she's perhaps not as dismissive or disaffected as she seems. I had failed to mention this earlier. She has a reputation as being not necessarily fickle and playing favorites, but she definitely is a fickle teacher that plays favorites. She overlooks certain students' mistakes and indulges her favorites, which includes Ankerroot. She has a reckless disregard for rules. She does not big on safety. And she thinks that anything like that is an impediment to education, as Payne is a great teacher. What else is fun about her? She hasn't really caused any harm. All of her students are fine, so that she's not, like, in trouble with the school faculty authorities, but...
She doesn't have many complaints against her in that regard.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's earned her reputation as being, for failing to show up for classes or forgetting to follow up on homework and playing favorites and being a little bit reckless. And also, this is kind of the school for that, you know?
Well, she's gonna love me then. There's already a dwarf-sized handprint in mango juice on one of her insect cases in the back of the room.
Cool.
So what else can you tell us about the nature of this insect problem?
Well, nothing yet. That's why I need you. That's why I have you. I summoned you here. You see, circumstances like this require careful, deliberate investigation. So I want you to go to four places: the dormitory, the Leshy Gardens, the stage, and the kitchens, and retrieve samples from each of them of the insects there. These are four places I've gotten complaints about insects from.
Out of character, lady, have you met us?
So I'm going to give you these these fragile glass jars, and
oh my god,
she hands a pile of them to Thorka, probably to occupy your hands.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And one of them immediately slips from my hands because they're covered in mango juice.
We're gonna pretend somebody catches that, or yeah, maybe they're plastic and not glass. I don't know. No, plastic wouldn't make sense. They're definitely glass. Yeah,
but they're tempered glass.
Can we talk about how the last bug we met almost killed us? And the bug before that we had to fight for some reason? We have not had a good run at bugs so far.
Well, this is an excellent opportunity to have a better run with bugs.
I mean, I am, like, mango-basted, so...
And she goes, so Glenn, she hands you a list of the places that she wants you to go to. So go to the places on the list, take note of any strange activity, collect insect samples for me, and take care. Do not provide further disruption that could cause problems I prefer to avoid. And she looks to you, Thorka, and wash your hands before coming back to me.
Thorka will slightly self-consciously, like, wipe her hand on the chest of the borrowed clothing she's currently wearing.
She's probably giving you like a woven basket containing the glass jars as opposed to just like a handful of glass jars.
That makes sense because they're all going to have mango handprints on them by the time anyone else gets them. It's going to be amazing.
That'll attract the bugs.
It will.
There you go. See, we're solving problems already.
I'm doing like five-dimensional chess over here. Yeah. Thorka's operating on another level entirely.
Questions, comments, concerns?
I mean, many, but probably nothing that's going to get solved until we get started, so. Yeah, let's head out and go to our first site, I suppose.
Yes, we are definitely not splitting up for this. That's how one of us dies to a bug.
The dormitory, Angerroot has said that there's been an uptick in pests in the dormitory. The Leshy Gardens, the speaker's stage, and the kitchens.
I guess we go check a dormitory first.
I do need to re-up my mango supply.
Kitchens? Alright.
Well, I would have done it like second or third, that way I could run out first, but we can top it off just while we're there.
Just to get right to it. Okay.
Yeah, let's go catch some bugs. Yeah. I go striding into the kitchen like I belong there, looking around for bugs.
Sorry, I had something pop up on my newsfeed, and I just have to share this. My local game bar, which is like a block from my house, I did not realize hosts gaming-themed burlesque drag shows.
Nice.
The guy, the chef at the game bar, RGB, helped revamp the casual gaming spots menu from just okay to an Asian-inspired theme. He was the hit behind the burlesque show Tasselvania. And is currently putting together Legend of Zelda Queers of the Kingdom. So, awesome.
That is some top tier punning. Holy shit. I've heard of Dungeons and Drag Queens.
Oh, it's already sold out. Never mind.
Unfortunate. Because that sounds like it would be amazing.
Yeah, I have to, like, just abandon my family and go to this bar. Cool. Alright, yeah, so you said you want to go to the kitchens, I believe.
Yes.
So, when you get to the dining hall, there is no one around, except for Lumusi Yao, who is kind of the head chef, like the person that knows your names, that knows Thorka by sight and smell, and you know, is always ready to go with another mango, just for Thorka. In fact, she's got an entire basket of mangoes and starts handing them out to you as you approach. She says, you can't go in. We're closed. No, sorry. You'll come back later.
Is this about the insect problem?
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
Well, it's your lucky day.
Please don't tell the other students. It's deeply embarrassing. We have wards. I have a special blends of cat.
Stop eating that. Oh my god.
They're a cat!
Oh my god, no. Sorry.
Glenn's like gnawing on a sign.
Yeah, like I wash the floors with lemon, marigold, and vinegar, like this, you know, this nice combination of insect repellent stuff. And somehow we brought in a bag of or a bushel of what are these things?
Not there the mangoes.
Go. Cassava. I received a large basket of cassava, and when I opened it, there were so many mites in it that I dropped the basket, spilling cassava everywhere, and the mites all over the floor. I asked Abena to go sweep up, I'm shooting right away, but I haven't heard back from her, and I hope you have a solution at hand.
Just
mites.
Just to confirm, you sent a person in there, they haven't come back out.
Yes.
How long ago was this?
Like a couple minutes.
Okay. Has there been an inordinate amount of screaming from that direction since, or?
Yeah, you'd think that.
I run a cafeteria at a school, where people are constantly hungry, and I'm armed with just enough mangoes to keep them at bay while the mite situation is resolved. Hopefully.
Thorka immediately starts testing the mango supply.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to take like a big bite of the mango I've been handed. And then with the mango like still in my mouth, right? With a mouthful of mango, I'm going to make eye contact with Firebird. And I'm going to say, we may need your fire. We may need fire. Like, I'm going to look past the cook at Firebird and be like, we may need to burn down this place if the mites are that bad.
Indeed. That's a little extreme for what we should be.
We had to burn down the cafeteria to save it.
I'm going to put that under Plan Z.
Oh yeah, no, we're kicking that door open, yeah.
Okay, so the first thing you notice when you open the door to the dining hall is a total lack of mites anywhere that you can see. There's a banging sound coming from the kitchen.
Goat? Yeah.
So in the kitchen there is a large cook pot. The lid of which is kind of like both secure and popping up and down every once in a while. And you can hear someone calling for help from inside.
Inside the kitchen or inside the pot?
Inside the pot. And she warns you to be careful.
I throw the remains of my mango into the room.
Hundreds of centipedes swarm out from underneath and behind every surface you can find. And these are big honking. I mean, these are not like finger-length centipedes. These are large, grotesque centipedes.
These are the ones more like the length of our arm.
Yeah, not tiny.
This is why I mentioned fire.
And you were right to do it.
Those are not mites. Actually, go ahead and give me a quick nature check, Glenn.
You got this, Glenn. You got it.
Actually, anybody who's trained in nature can go ahead and give me a quick nature check.
Well, Thorka doesn't know what she's looking at, besides needs to burn. Yep.
Parker, you're looking at centipedes. There's a there's a lot of bugs, and you're pretty sure that this building is done.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, 100%. I am on board.
Yeah. Glenn, centipedes eat mites.
The circle of mites.
So somebody brought a whole bunch of centipede food here, and the centipedes have swarmed to eat the giant amount of food that somebody dropped
off. Let's not think about the fact that there were a disconcerting amount of centipedes waiting in the wings for the mites to show up.
Or really anything to eat. Somehow I think Ankerroot might have words.
They're they were described as the length of our forearm. Is a chicken really going to try? I don't know if a chicken's standing up to this thing. Unless it's like
a
dire chicken. Like a D&D-ass chicken, maybe.
Like, these are... They're large centipedes, but they're not giant centipedes.
Right.
Okay, words have meanings.
They're not considered small creatures, however.
A swarm of them is considered a medium creature. So there is a person amount of centipedes in this room.
There's only one. There's one swarm.
That's still a lot of centipedes, sir.
Excuse me. A large creature. It's a large sized number.
Oh, I'm. Yeah. That's still a lot of centipedes, sir.
It's 4 times as many centipedes in D&D parlance.
Thorka, mango juice still dripping from her maw, makes eye contact with Firebird and gives a very meaningful glance.
I mean, aren't we supposed to collect some or something before I set things on fire? Not that I'm against setting things on fire, but just, you know.
Ostensibly.
Gotta get credit for this class or something.
How close is the person in the pot to me?
On the other side of the kitchen. You'll have to traverse the swarm.
Can somebody blow a path in the swarm for me, please?
I might have things that can help here. Hold on. I gotta figure out if I can use Mage Hand on living creatures.
Usually you can't. I believe there's a 5-pound limit on manipulable items.
Yeah.
Well, centipedes are only less than 5 pounds.
I don't know.
I've added a token. Can y'all see it?
We're in the dormitories.
Yeah.
Excellent. I see a centipede swarm.
I just added that down here. Okay. The generic face. I just wanted to make sure we had people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Mage Hand spell that I have here does not indicate anything about weight. Oh, light bulk or less. What is light bulk?
Light bulk, like, well, it's like light. So this light bulk is, you gotta add like 20 of them together to make one bulk. So you're talking about like arrows or throwing knives or things of that nature. So,
yeah,
maybe. So
about 5 pounds.
Maybe.
But so I can imagine I can at least pick up, you know, one of these centipedes and get it into a jar without us having to actually touch the things, right?
Or I just threw a mango in there, and they're probably eating on it. Can you pick up the mango and drag a centipede with it? So if you can do that, I'll put it in a jar, and then we can stomp/burn this situation.
I certainly can, yes. I don't know, whatever. It bringing the mango towards us might bring more than one.
That's okay. I got my stomping feet ready. My bare stomping feet. They are definitely not stingy animals, centipedes. I've never heard that before.
Really, Thorka wants her mango back, so I am going to use Mage Hand to bring the mango towards the glass jar that Thorka's holding.
The mango and the centipede, which is now, you know, wrapped around the mango. I thought they're carnivorous. Do they eat mangoes?
I have no idea, but you said they like zoomed out of the undergrowth or the cupboards and stuff towards the mango.
Shit, apparently they do eat fruit.
They're bugs. They probably eat whatever they're walking on, right?
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's more of a you triggered their tremor sense thing, but yeah. Yeah, so you take the mango out from the swarm of centipedes and bring it to Thorka, who is able to bottle one of them. But the rest of that swarm sees you and has decided to charge you.
Love it. By you mean?
I mean roll for initiative.
Okay. Ha! Look, Jonas has this, guys. It's all on you, Jonas. Actually, you go after the centipedes anyway. It doesn't matter.
Oh my god, Kat, you are just determined to chew on this bracelet.
So for those listening along at home, the centipede swarm rolled a 23, and the rest of us rolled 7s or 8s, besides Jonas, who rolled a 16. But it's functionally the same, because they're not as high as the 23.
Yep. Not matching that.
Yep. Look.
Well, I mean...
We got that out of our system, right? That's how that works.
Oh my god, each enemy in the swarm space. So tell me how y'all are arranged. Like, I assume, like Firebird, are you next to Thorka?
It doesn't make any sense to me that anyone would be as far into this room as Thorka currently is.
But is anyone within? Sorry.
I'm probably next to, or the general vicinity of Thorka.
Yeah.
Just so I can see where I have to move this mango.
I'm assuming that Glenn and Jonas are like a large creature distance away.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption.
So they just literally cover the floor, and they start swarming up, Thorka and Firebird, biting y'all.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Umoja by Alexander Nakarada, which is available from freestockmusic.com. Nakarada's music can also be found on serpentsoundstudios.com. Outro music is Horizons by Etch, which can be found on SoundCloud or at ATCH Music on Instagram. The Kindled Magic book was written by Eleanor Farron and Alexandria Bustian and is a part of the Strength of Thousands Pathfinder Path. The Pathfinder role-playing game is owned and published by Paizo Publishing. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associate copyright holder.